Well, on some level, I think that these different readings that we have today are like music to our ears. Because all of us, really deep down, we love to see the wicked person get, face the music, right, for their wicked ways. Or we love to see that brother that has sinned against us get their comeuppance, be called out on the carpet. And that's, in some sense, just a matter of justice. But the challenge that Jesus really offers us today is, who is it that is supposed to call that brother who has fallen into sin back to repentance? It is each one of us, right? That is the challenge. And that is pretty terrifying, because it is sometimes hard to do that well. But if we, if the church of Jesus Christ is truly to be a place of love and peace and harmony, then to call the sinner back from his sinful ways is a necessary piece of that. We have a technical word for this in seminary. We call it fraternal correction, because indeed, that is what it should be. It should be correction that is fraternal, that is brotherly, that is loving, because we want to see this person change his ways for the better. So, if that is really what Jesus wants us to do, and indeed as he instructs us to do in the gospel today, how can we do it well? That's what we want to talk about today. And I think there are three steps to it, three things that we need to understand in order to practice fraternal correction in the church. First, we have to understand what fraternal correction really is. Second, we have to understand how to give fraternal correction. And thirdly, we have to understand how to receive fraternal correction. So first of all, what is fraternal correction? When we talk about fraternal correction, we're not talking about a difference of opinion, right? This is not the Star Wars fans versus the Trekkies, or the Bengals fans versus the Browns, right? Nor are we talking about a difference in theory of things like politics or education or the empirical sciences, those things which really kind of lay outside of the domain of our salvation. When we talk about fraternal correction, we are talking about our personal experience of someone whose life, whose behavior is consistently and habitually, right? So typically not just one time, but who habitually lives in such a way that they are living contrary to the law of God, the law of Jesus Christ, the law of the church. That, when we correct that, that is what we mean by fraternal correction and nothing else. So the second thing is, how do we do that? How do we offer fraternal correction well? Again, there are three steps that we can do this quite simply. Two of them come directly out of the gospel, but I want to add one to the beginning because I think it helps us to do this better. So I think the first thing that we always want to do when we see somebody who is committing sin is to take a moment to remember that we also are sinners, right? As Jesus says, to take the pole or the beam out of our own eye before we try to remove the speck out of our brother's eye. And that keeps us, from simply reacting impulsively or with anger, to remember that we also are in need of the mercy of God, and we have done stuff that needs correction as well. So once we've done that, the second step, of course, is to communicate our concern. And this is, it's very important that we do this well, to communicate our concern in a truly Christian, a truly charitable manner. That has to be done, as Jesus says, face to face. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Right? Give that person the respect of really bringing to their attention. Maybe they don't even know what it is that they're doing, Don't drop hints or write anonymous letters or go behind their back to their superior and try and get them in trouble, right? Have the decency to just go to that person and tell them what you see as the problem. This is no doubt the most difficult, the most challenging part, but it's the way that we really show that we care about someone, that we go to them and share with them our concern. And, you know, a part of this communication, really, when Jesus talks about taking two or three others along with you, he's also there talking about good communication. I mean, sure, there's the whole legal aspect of it that he's talking about, having witnesses to confirm what is being said. But he's also saying that, you know, a lot of the times, we don't simply have all the right things to say. Right? We hear things differently from different people. I can get up here and preach to you five different times on the same topic, and you may never get what I'm trying to say. But Father David might get up here and preach a homily, and you'd be like, that's a great point, Father. Right? Because he said it in his way, and it resonates with you. So part of what Jesus, again, is saying when he says take two or three others with you is communicate well. Make sure this person really understands where you're coming from. So then the third principle of giving good fraternal correction is, once you've done that, once you've expressed your concern, walk away. Drop it. Leave it alone, right? That in the end, it is not you who judges this person, but God who judges this person. And so once you have made your point, whether or not that person reforms their life, you have to let it go. That's what Jesus means when he says, you know, if they don't answer, tell the church. In other words, let a higher authority deal with it. Or what he means when he says, you know, treat that person as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. And say, simply leave them alone. So those are the three steps in giving good fraternal correction. Which brings us to the third point, and that is, how do we receive well fraternal correction? Because, you know, if you want to learn to give good fraternal correction, it probably what needs to happen is that first you need to receive fraternal correction. It's probably true that if you've never been corrected in your life, you should probably not give any correction because you're probably far more pompous than you realize, right? But if you want to receive fraternal correction in a good way, in a spiritually fruitful way, how do we do that? Again, actually, I think it's the same three steps for how we give good fraternal correction. So first, as soon as someone criticizes us, as soon as someone presents us with one of our faults, we're going to have one of two emotions. Either guilt, because we recognize that they're right, or anger, because we believe that what they're saying is unjustified. Well, either way, the first step that we need to have there is to call to mind that we are sinners. If we're guilty, we have to admit that we are sinners so that God will forgive us. But if we are not guilty, if we believe this person is mistaken, we again need to acknowledge that we are sinners so that we don't respond to them with anger or ungraciously, but instead can sympathize with where they are coming from. Then step two, again, is just good communication. And what, after all, is always the first step in good communication? It is good listening. Right, so before we become defensive, before we just reject out of hand what this person is saying, we must give them the respect of listening well to what they are saying about us. And then, of course, if we disagree with what they have said, we must do our best to communicate clearly back and give them our own perspective. And then again, the third step there is the same. Simply, once you have communicated back, especially if you believe that this person is mistaken, you simply drop it. Let it go, right? It is not your job now to get back at this person. Well, you fraternally corrected me, so I'm going to fraternally correct you now, right? That is not how it works. So simply, when someone corrects us in that way, we have to be able to, once we've made our response, give it to God and let it go. So I think that if we take seriously what Jesus tells us in the gospel today, if we really want to practice fraternal correction, understanding what it is, being able to give it effectively and receive it effectively, that we will be able to make the church and our parish a more harmonious and peaceful and loving place. And it will be more true what Jesus says today, that where two or three of us are gathered together in his name, there is he in the midst of us.